Shalom and welcome to On the House, the podcast where industry experts and professionals discuss real estate in Israel. I'm your host, Debbie Goldfischer, real estate agent, founder and editor-in-chief of buyitinisrael.com. Join us as we explore market trends, legal and tax issues, purchasing tips, neighborhoods throughout Israel, and much more. All this is On the House, helping you make the right move. Welcome, everybody, and thank you for joining us for the next episode of On the House, the Israel Real Estate Podcast. Today, we will continue our discussion on taxes related to real estate in Israel. We've already covered taxes on property purchases, on sales, and inheritances. And today, I want to focus on the taxes associated with renting property in Israel. For many people, buying a home in Israel is an investment. Some purchase a home with the intention of making aliyah in the future or for their kids to use the property one day. In the meantime, they rent it out to cover the mortgage payments, running costs, and other expenses while benefiting from the property value appreciation and having secured a home in Israel. Many long-term property investors are curious about what's involved in renting out a home, especially how it affects their tax situation. So today, we're going to focus on the tax implications, and please God, in the future, perhaps we'll discuss the broader aspects of renting, both from the landlord and tenant's perspectives. Unlike mas rechisha and mas shevach, taxes on property purchases and sales, which are typically handled by the real estate attorney, rental income is usually managed by an accountant. So for today's episode, we are honored to welcome Chana Engel. Chana is a distinguished Israeli CPA with over 20 years of experience. Born to American parents, Chana is bilingual and has built her career working primarily with English-speaking clients. As the owner and director of EC Accounting and Finance, a boutique firm specializing in Israeli taxation, Chana offers expert guidance to small businesses and investors, ensuring they navigate Israel's complex tax landscape with confidence. Chana's deep understanding of Israeli tax regulations, combined with her genuine care for her clients, has made her a trusted name in the field. She provides exceptional service, offering clear and thoughtful advice that meets the unique needs of each client. Today, we're excited to tap into her vast knowledge and learn more about the intricacies of Israeli taxation and how it relates to real estate rentals. Chana, thank you for joining us and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Such a pleasure. So Chana, before we get started, tell us a little bit about your office, your focus, and the matzav, the situation in Israel, and how this is impacting you and your business.
Well, first of all, my husband was called up to Miluim on October 7th.
Wow.
And that kind of threw everything up in the air on a personal and business level as well. A lot of my clients were affected by the security situation. A lot of the businesses were closed or there was much less business activity in general going on. The whole country was kind of on hold for a while in the beginning. And my kids were home too, without my husband, who is very
active.
Yes, he's very active in the way we manage our household. So we had to figure out how many work hours I actually had, where my kids were during the day, when they finally went back to school on a part-time basis, and then finally on a regular basis, and also figure out the new laws that the government was bringing up all the time about how they were compensating business owners for the lack of income. So we were staying up to date with everything that had to do with the Israeli tax authorities and with the government and trying to keep everybody sane at the same time.
Wow, that's unbelievable. I mean, just running a business and such an important and professional business as you do as a young mother is challenging enough, but to add a war and a husband who's in the army to that mix must be incredibly challenging and complex.
It was and still is very challenging. You know, as we speak, things are, you know, warming up all over the country and we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but Bezrat Hashem.
We'll get through this. Bezrat Hashem. Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, kol hakavod and thank you and your husband for the incredible service that you're providing. So Chana, let's dive into our topic today. As I said, we are focusing on the Israeli taxation on the rental side of owning real estate in Israel. For many people, this is a really important topic because, you know, it's one thing to buy something, but then you have to think about what are going to be the consequences of owning and renting out the property. So tell us, first of all, somebody who owns something in Israel and rents it out, what are the reporting requirements, the obligations on the owners, on the landlord, and what tax implications apply on the rental?
Okay, so let's start with the assumption that we're talking only about residential rent, because the laws are different for business properties. And when we're talking about residential rent, we're also not talking about a situation in which someone owns an apartment and is renting it out as an Airbnb that is already considered business income. And
we're talking about like a long-term rental, somebody has a lease rental for a year or longer.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. What if it's shorter, like a 6-month lease?
That's okay too.
Okay.
As long as it's for residential purposes.
Residential month-to-month rental.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Now, as long as the rent from this one or two properties even is up to a total of about 5,600 shekel per month. Mm-hmm. The exact amount is 5,654 shekel per month, but we're not going to, you know, stick to the shekels there. Mm-hmm. Then the rental income is tax-free here in Israel. Mm-hmm. And there are no reporting obligations either.
Again, that number was 5,654. 54. Okay. So rent up to that amount is completely
tax-free.
No obligations.
No obligations at all. And this could be from more than one property together. So let's say someone has two apartments here in Israel, and they're renting out one out for 2,000 shekel and one for 3,000 shekel a month. That's a total of 5,000 shekel a month. They have no reporting obligation, and they don't have to pay any tax on that.
Okay.
If the amount of rent that they receive is higher than the 5,654 shekel a month, then that tax-exempt amount of rental income starts phasing out. So for every shekel that the rental income is higher than that limit, the tax-free amount goes down, shekel to shekel. Mm-hmm. So if, for example, we have someone whose rental property is earning 7,000 shekel a month, that means that they exceeded the limit by about 1,400 shekel.
Okay.
Which means that now their tax-free amount is going down by 1,400 shekel. Instead of having 5,600 shekel of tax-free rental income, they really only have 4,200 shekel of tax-free rental income from mm-hmm. Israel's perspective. And how we treat the rest depends on which type of reporting and taxation the person chooses. So there are two options. One is to take the full amount of rental income, to take that full 7,000 shekel of rental income and just paying a flat 10% on that, 700 shekel a month.
Per month.
We're not deducting any expenses from this amount. So the tenant pays the landlord 7,000 shekel a month, and the landlord has to pay 700 shekel of tax. Mm-hmm.
In that case, he pays it every month, or is it done at the
end
of the year?
So the tax is paid in January of the following year.
Okay.
There's a report that's done online. You do need to open a tax file at the Israeli Tax Authority, at Mas Hakhnasa, and it's a specific type of file for reporting the rental income and choosing the 10% tax option, and the tax and the report has to be made by the end of January of the following year. The tax has to be paid by the end of January as well.
So if there was a month or two that the apartment was empty, so does the landlord have to pay tax on those 2 months, or is it looked at as an annual amount altogether?
The tax is calculated on the actual rental income received during the tax year.
For the year. Okay.
For the
so
year.
They don't really look at the monthly amount, they look at the annual.
Right. The limits are monthly. That's why it's a little confusing. The limits are monthly. We're talking about 5,654 shekel limit per month. But the tax payment is annual, and it's calculated on the annual rental income received.
Got it. Okay. So this is, let's say, track number one.
Right. So track number one would be, let's take the easy track. Okay. Let's just pay 10% flat out, get it out of our hair, and move on with our lives.
And if somebody is a foreign resident, they don't have a tax file here, they've never reported anything, they have to start to get involved now with the tax authorities?
Yes, they're required to pay tax on the rental income, whether they're an Israeli resident or a foreign resident.
Mm-hmm. And what's involved in opening a tax file, as you said?
So when they purchased the property and they paid the mas rechisha, their attorney, in order to file and pay the mas rechisha, got them a number. That is like an ID number at the Israeli tax authorities. I think it usually starts with like 66 and then whatever number it is. It's based on their passport and all kinds of other things. And we can use that same number to open a reporting tax file at the Israeli tax authorities.
So they shouldn't feel like this is, you know, very daunting and scary. They've already basically reported something. They've already got some relationship with the tax authorities. So this is just a continuation of that.
So that's true and partially
not true.
Yes, because the tax file that they had, the number was originally set up for, is at the Department of Property Tax at the Israeli Tax Authority. And the department for which you're going to be reporting the rental income is the regular Income tax department.
Okay.
So having a file opened at the property tax department doesn't mean that there is a file opened at the income tax department.
But you said they can use the same number.
They will use the same number. The way it usually works technically is in our office, we prepare a representation form based on that number for the Israeli tax authorities. And then once that's approved, then we can send in a request to open the tax file at the income tax authorities. They open the type of file that only requires an annual report of the actual rental income received in the prior year. Then at the end of January, we make the report, make sure the tax is paid, and you can keep going on with your life.
I see. Do they need an accountant for this, or can they do it on their own?
They can do it on their own.
Okay.
It can all be done online.
Even from abroad?
Even from abroad. It's a little bit more complicated because sometimes the tax system's websites don't work very well from overseas.
Abroad. Right. Yes. We heard that they don't take foreign credit cards.
They don't accept foreign credit cards. Right. You have to make sure you have an Israeli bank account if you want to make a bank transfer for the payment or pay by credit card. You'll need an Israeli credit card to pay the tax. Mm-hmm. And they've made it so that you can't even have someone else pay the tax for you with their credit card. The credit card has to be linked to your tax number.
So if you don't have an Israeli credit card, what do?
Then you can pay by bank transfer from an Israeli bank account.
I see. Okay, so this is track number one. Sounds like the the most simplest.
Yes, but it might not be the cheapest. So track number two is a little bit complicated. So listen closely. If the total rental income monthly is twice as high as that 5,654 shekel of income that we said was the limit for the non-taxable rental income.
So we're talking about 11,300.
Right, 11,308.
Okay.
If it's higher than that amount, there's no tax-free portion of rental income at all. And the whole amount of rental income is going to be taxable. So you can either choose the 10% option, which we discussed, or you can choose to deduct expenses that are related to the property, depreciation, other expenses related to realtor fees, if you use a realtor to rent out the property, and attorney fees, just regular maintenance costs, mortgage payments, so we can take the interest on the mortgage payments.
Okay.
But the depreciation is basically instead of the principal of the mortgage payments.
Got it.
Depreciation means that we're taking 2/3 of the original purchase price of the property, and then 4% of that is considered an expense for tax purposes each year.
Mm-hmm.
So that is kind of like the equivalent of the principal and the mortgage payments.
Okay.
So we can deduct all of those different amounts from the taxable rental income, and then the profit that's left after that will be taxed at the marginal tax rate of the person who owns the property. Now, there is a minimum marginal tax rate for passive income, and that is 31% as opposed to just the regular 10% on active income, as long as the person is under the age of 60. So if we're talking about a foreigner who purchased an apartment or a few apartments here in Israel, and their total rental income is more than 11,308 shekel per month, and after they deduct all of the expenses, they have 7,000 shekel of net profit, and they're under the age of 60, they'll be paying 31% tax on that 7,000.
On the full amount, the 7,000.
On the 7,000, which is after the deductible expenses.
Okay.
So the first, you know, the 11,308 minus the expenses is the 7,000 shekel. If they would choose a 10% option, they'll be paying 10% of 11,308, assuming that was their rental income. And if they're choosing the marginal tax rate, they'll be paying 31% on the 7,000 shekel profit.
So given this example, if they pay the marginal rate on 7,000, they would pay 2,170. And if they pay 10% on the full amount of 11,300, they would pay
1,130.
1,130. So in this case, they would be much better off doing the first track.
Right. In this case, they'd be better off choosing the 10% track.
Okay.
But it depends on how high the rental income is and how much expenses they have that's related to the property. There could be years in which there are more maintenance fees, or they had a tenant move out and a tenant move in and they had to paint the place or whatever. So it could be that it would be more worthwhile to choose the second tract in that year. And for someone who's over the age of 60, whose tax rate starts at 10%, then the second tract would almost in every single case be more worthwhile, assuming this is their only source of Israeli income, because then they'll be paying 10% of the 7,000 shekel instead of 10%.
As opposed to the full amount.
Exactly.
Right. Okay, a few questions. What happens if their rent is above 11,300?
If their rent is above 11,300, then they have the two tracts that we just discussed now.
And if it's less than 11,300?
If it's between 5,654 and 11,308, that's where it gets a little bit more complicated. Because here there are two tracts. They have the 10% tract that has been following us along all the way through. And the other part of the income still can be partially tax-free. So if we take, for example, that 7,000 shekel of gross income this time, okay, so they're above the limit. You know, they're 1,350 shekel above the 5,654. That means that the non-taxable part of the rental income goes down by 1,350 shekel. So that means that they have 4,300 shekel of non-taxable income. And the rest, the other 2,700 shekel up to the 7,000 total rental income they have, they can deduct a proportional amount of the depreciation, of the maintenance costs, and of all the other rental-related expenses that they would have deducted in full if their rental income was higher than 11,308. And then on what's left after that, so if they have, let's say, 700 shekel of deductible expenses, so they've got the 4,300 shekel of non-taxable income, they've got 2,000 shekel of taxable income. And on that, they would be paying 31% marginal tax rate.
Even if the tax rate is higher, even if they're paying a higher marginal tax rate?
So if they have other sources of Israeli income, then their tax rate may be higher and they won't be paying 31%. They may be paying 35 or 47 or 50% tax. It depends on their marginal tax rate. But if we take a foreigner who doesn't have any other sources of income here in Israel, then their marginal tax rate would be 31%, assuming they're under the age of 60.
Unless they have multiple properties and their income is significantly higher.
Well, if they have multiple properties, and here we're talking about at least 10, and sometimes even between 5 and 10, depending on how things are set up, then the Israeli tax authorities may consider that business income, even though it seems passive.
Even though it's a residential property, it's turned into a business.
Property. Yes.
Very interesting. So I think what we're learning is that it's really important to consult with a professional who can look at the properties, the income, the status, not just once, but every year.
Yes.
It really changes every year, especially when there are major expenses that kick in.
Unless, you know, things are very static, unless, you know, the rental income is under the 5,650 shekel a month, and this number is adjusted each year, but you can use that as a benchmark for now. If the rental income is below that amount, then it's definitely not taxable and you don't really need to consult with an accountant about it.
Mm-hmm. And going back to foreign residents, you can select track number two as well?
Yes. If they select track number two, in which they say, okay, we want to deduct expenses and we want to pay a marginal tax rate on that, then the reporting process is a little bit more complicated. It's not just an annual one-line report that's done online in January. The report itself is the full tax return here in Israel. Mm-hmm. Now, because they're not residents of Israel, if we're talking about foreigners, then the tax return will include just the profit and loss statement from the rental property, or also show the non-taxable part of the rental income if there is any of that. But you will be required to file a full tax return. The deadlines for that would be the same deadlines we have for regular Israeli tax returns, which are usually the first deadlines at the end of June or the end of July. We can usually file last deadlines usually at the end of the fiscal tax year. And if there are other sources of income as well, then those would also have to be included in the return. Mm-hmm. If we're not talking about foreigners, then the Israeli tax return would include their income from all sources. Assuming they're past their 10 years of Aliyah, then it would include their income from Israeli wages and other investments and foreign investments, if there are any.
Okay, so it sounds like for foreigners, this is a more complicated track because of the reporting requirements.
It's more complicated, but it's usually, if there are multiple properties, it's usually more worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. And you deal with this in your office a lot?
Yes, we deal with, first of all, checking what is more beneficial to the client, which reporting tract, and then completing and preparing the actual reports.
Fantastic. Okay, so we've discussed the two tracks that a landlord can select, and we've spoken about the tax obligations. Let's talk a little bit about what happens if somebody doesn't report and doesn't fulfill this obligation, especially people from overseas. They don't know about it, or they think they're exempt.
That's a great question. The Israeli tax authorities have access to the property tax department, where they know people are, they purchased the property to begin with. And second of all, to our Nona city tax, municipal tax reports. And their systems are slowly moving towards consolidating information, mm-hmm. and putting 2 + 2 together.
Okay.
So in theory, if someone doesn't report their rental income when it's above the limit, and they should be reporting it, the government will catch up to them at some point. And if that happens, then they're at a risk of being accused of committing a felony. So not only will they have to pay the tax and interest and all kinds of things that come together with not paying on time, the government could also add on all kinds of different penalties or take them to court.
Okay, so it's important to be aware of this and to be on top of things always. Okay, now what happens if a property is owned by multiple owners, partners, or family members? So how does it work? Everybody has to file and report themselves? You know, what's the procedure?
So if we have, for example, a case where you have 3 owners of one apartment, mm-hmm. okay, and the total rental income from that apartment is 9,000 shekel a month. In theory, if this apartment was held by one person, then they would have to pay tax on that rental income.
Okay.
But since the tax is split 3 ways, each of the partners rental income is below the 5,600 limit. Mm-hmm. And therefore, they're not going to have to pay tax on their part of the rental income.
Okay. And what if they are above the limit?
Okay. If they're above the limit.
You didn't want that question, I know.
Oh, it's okay. It's just, you know, the calculation issue. If the rental income is above the limit per person, mm-hmm. then they each have a choice of which track they choose. It could be that for one partner, it makes more sense to choose the 10% option. And for another, it makes more sense to deduct expenses and pay their marginal tax rate.
Okay, each one can make their own selection.
Yes.
And each one is responsible to report and pay tax on their portion.
Yes.
Okay. And if one partner doesn't, then the other one is not impacted.
Yes.
Okay, excellent. And what about minors? If a property is held by a minor, who is responsible for reporting and filing and paying the taxes?
So here in Israel, minors' income is considered their parents' income if we're talking about passive income.
Okay.
So just because the property was purchased under a minor's name doesn't mean that the income from the property belongs to the minor from Israel's tax perspective. And up until the age of 18, the parents or legal guardians of that minor are required to report the income as if it's theirs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what happens if an apartment is sitting empty and there are expenses on it? It's not rented. Can these expenses be deducted? Can they be, in any way, can they help the tax situation of the landlord, of the owner?
So these expenses can be deducted if there is rental income for at least part of the year.
Okay.
And the owner chooses the marginal tax track. And then they can deduct the expenses that are related to the property. If they're paying the municipal taxes when the property is empty, or they're paying the electric bill, which is supposed to be minimal when it's empty.
Because the 10% track doesn't include any reporting of expenses.
Right.
Got it. Okay, I think this is pretty clear. I know you probably don't want to discuss this, but I do want to go back to Airbnbs, because there are many people who, they want to buy an apartment, they want to rent it out for the periods when they're not here, but when they do come for the chagim, for the summer, et cetera, they want to be able to use the apartment. So in the meantime, they rent it out on a short-term basis, which is what we call Airbnbs these days, or that, you know, that sort of setup. So how is that income looked upon?
Airbnb income is considered business income here in Israel.
We're talking short-term rentals.
Short-term
rentals.
Even if
it's not on the Airbnb website.
Yes.
Right. If you publicize it on Facebook, for example, it's still considered like an Airbnb.
Yes. Short-term rentals, not month-to-month set fees, are considered business income here in Israel. And the owners of the property who are renting it out as a business are required to open a business tax file here in Israel, mm-hmm. which means that they would be required to issue receipts for every rental, and they'd be able, obviously, to deduct the expenses that are related to the rental as well. But they don't have a choice of choosing the 10% tract or even part of the non-taxable income tract. They will have to pay their marginal tax rate on the profit. But in this case, the marginal tax rate does start at 10% because it's considered active income and not passive income. So even if the person is under the age of 60, if they're running an Airbnb or short-term rental activity from their property, they will be paying the marginal tax rates in Israel, which start at 10% and then 14 and 20 and 30, only then 31.
Okay. What about VAT?
That's a great question. Because when the VAT department came out and said, okay, Airbnbs are considered businesses, they also said, we don't want to allow you to deduct the VAT until you can prove that you've reached the 120,000 shekel limit of an osek patur, of a small business owner.
Okay.
Because they also don't want you to deduct the VAT that's included as part of your expenses. So if someone opens or starts Airbnb activity, they need to be able to prove that they've reached that limit, that their gross income from the Airbnb is at least 120,000 shekel a year. Once they can prove that they reach the limit, only then will they have to start charging VAT. And then things get even a little bit more complicated, because depending on how big the property is, might be able to be exempt from charging foreign renters, mm-hmm. short-term renters, the VAT.
As they do, like tourists don't pay VAT in hotels.
Correct.
I see. I would imagine that for serious business people who are making this a business, renting out their apartments on the short-term basis, they could probably quickly reach 120,000 shekels in a year from their income. So in many cases, they will be charging VAT, correct?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. And what happens if somebody's renting out a residential property to a business? Okay, so for example, somebody says, I want to rent it out as a gun, a children's kindergarten, or I'm a hairdresser and I'm going to be running a business from the home, or that sort of thing. How does that impact the taxation on the rental income?
So before we talk about the regular income tax, this is something that you really don't want to do from a mas shevach perspective.
Mas shevach is, as we know, capital gains.
Right. Because if the property is used for business purposes for sometime during the last 4 years before you sell it, when comes time to report the sale to mas shevach, ma'am also comes into the picture and says, hey, this isn't a residential property, this is a business property.
Ma'am is VAT.
Ma'am is VAT. We want 17% of the sales price be considered VAT.
Wow, very dangerous.
It's very dangerous. So if someone is considering renting out the residential property for business purposes, they need to make sure that they have a long-term plan to keep the property as a residential property again for at least 4 years before they actually sell the property if they want to avoid the VAT.
Which they may not know when they're going to sell. I mean, this is not a tax-related issue, but just in general, when you're renting out an apartment, if somebody tells you they're going to be running a business from their home, you want to make sure that they're allowed to do so. Because many places, I know I live in Modiin, you can't just open up a home office. You have to get a permit. You have to have permission from the other residents in the building, the parking issues, the noise, et cetera, et cetera. So don't just assume you can rent to anybody who wants to run a business. Try and stick to residential.
And even if we put all the municipal issues aside, from a tax perspective, if a contract says that you are renting the property out for residential purposes, but really you're renting it out for business purposes, then you have an issue again with Israeli tax authorities and the way you're reporting things. You can't choose the 10% option or the tax-free portion option. You will have to consider it business income.
Okay, excellent. Let's move over to the perspective of the renter, okay, the tenant. Can tenants deduct rent tax returns? And if so, when and how?
So here in Israel, because we have these different tracks for the landlord, and they're essentially paying a lower tax rate than they would on their active income, it isn't possible to deduct rental expenses as a business expense unless you convince your landlord that they should treat it as a business income themselves.
Which is going to get them into trouble.
Which would make them pay much more taxes and could get them into a lot of trouble. So it doesn't usually happen.
Doesn't usually happen.
Yes.
Okay. What happens if somebody owns an apartment, but for whatever reason, they decide that it's not suitable for them to live in? So they rent their apartment out and then they go and rent somewhere else to live. Can they offset their income on the rental that they pay for? How does it work?
Yeah, so starting from 23, there was a change in the law because up until 23, it wasn't possible to offset the rental expenses from the rental income. Starting from 23, the Israeli tax authorities said that you can now offset rental expenses from rental income. It's limited to 7,500 shekel of offsetting per month. So if someone has 9,000 shekel, for example, of rental income, and they're paying 9,000 shekel in rental expenses, they can only offset up to 7,500 shekel. And on the remaining balance, you can't choose which tract you want. It's not going to be not taxable because, hey, you could say it's under the 5,600 shekel limit. It's only 1,500 shekel. You are required to pay the 10% tax. Mm-hmm. So you can't even choose the marginal tax rate and deduct expenses, it'll be 10% on whatever's left over.
So on the one hand, it's fair that they've recognized that people who are renting out their home and renting somewhere else, at least they're allowing them to offset the expenses and the income. On the other hand, there could well be a shortfall, which is somewhat unfair, but at least they're only charged 10% on that. Okay.
But it's something to consider when you come to figuring out which tract works best for you. Make sure to let whoever's doing the calculations for you know if you're renting a different place instead.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that last year in 2023, this particular amendment was made. I know that the Israel Tax Authority has been pushing for legislative changes in the rental sector to address some of these imbalances. Do you know of any other things that are going to be coming up, any other changes that are expected to take place?
Well, nothing's final yet, but they are talking about not making adjustments to the non-taxable part of the income to that limit anymore.
So the 5,654 shekel will not change. Sorry, right now it's adjusted every year based on inflation,
right?
Correct? So they would cap it, they would set it, and that would not change.
That's what they were discussing.
That doesn't seem so fair.
Well, I think they see it as a pretty big tax benefit by giving any tax-free income to anyone, and especially investors who, for some reason, the government sees the investors as advantaged to begin with, and they feel like giving them the option to have any tax-free income, they see it as a lot. There was talk a few years ago of taxing rental income from the third apartment or third property someone owns and onward. That didn't end up going through, but they were seriously discussing that. Also because they're trying to lower the amount of investors, I think,
in the housing market.
In the housing market, mm-hmm. so that there'll be more properties available to people who just want to buy a home. Mm-hmm. And they think that might help the situation.
Right. So it makes sense what you're saying, that they're going to slowly erode the exemption track, because compared with other investment tracks, this type of investment, it seems to be beneficial. And the differences in tax payments is almost unfair. People who are renting out their apartments pay significantly less on that income than other investors do. So that's a notable change that you say it's going to be happening, or they've...
Discussing it, but I think they started discussing it and they proposed it at the same time that they passed a law that said that, you know, you can start deducting the rental expenses from the rental income. So anything can happen.
Anything can happen, sure. I think that all of this discussion is very notable, not just because it's relevant to our listeners, for many people who are looking to buy something and not going to use it straight away, but also the rental sector in general is growing in Israel. It's becoming much more of a renter's market here in Israel than it ever was. We've spoken about this a number of times, that is, Israelis and Jews in general are very, very much focused on home ownership. And unfortunately, with the prices of homes in Israel, for many people, they're locked out of the market and their purchasing ability is not sufficient to buy a home in Israel, which is making it more of a rental market. We've spoken a number of times about new projects where there are long-term rental projects, which will allow people to rent for the long term from a company or from a fund as opposed to a private individual. And also for private investors who are buying, as we said, many people from overseas, these apartments will be available on the free market for rent, which is a really, really important part of the ecosystem here. We need that for people because the gap between the supply and the demand of housing is so large. And it's important that we have availability of rental properties on the market. So thank you so much, Hannah. This discussion is super important, and I think it will make it very clear to people, to potential investors and to existing investors, as to what they should be doing and how to handle their rental income. Before we end, two very important questions I'd like to ask you. Where in Israel do you live, and what do you love most about it?
I live in Rehovot, which is not far from Modi'in. I think the most convenient thing about it for my family is that both our parents live in Rehovot as well.
Fantastic.
We do complain about the weather a lot.
Why? Well, what's the weather like?
The weather is very humid, especially in the summer. And I think if our family wasn't so close and the city itself wasn't so accessible, and it's a very comfortable place to live because the way it's set up is everything is very central. Mm-hmm. But if we didn't have those things, then I think we'd probably look for a place that had the better weather.
Interesting. It's so humid there?
In the summer, yes.
It's humid everywhere, though.
It always feels to me like Rehovot is especially humid.
How interesting.
And my sisters who live in Mevo Choron, when they come to Rehovot, they're always like, oh, it's so much worse here.
So funny. Interesting. Yes. So if you were to move... obviously, you'd have to bring your families with you. Where would you move and why?
Right now, and we've spoken about this already a few times this year, I would move up north once things calm down, because we feel that due to the security situation, there will be a need for residents up north.
That's amazing. Beautiful. And it's such a beautiful part of the country.
It's beautiful and the weather's great.
Yeah, oh, you'll definitely get great weather up there. And I'm assuming that the nature of your work is that you work remotely with many people?
Yes, we have clients from all over Israel and overseas, and we don't usually meet with too many of them in person. So yes.
You do everything on Zoom, right?
Everything's on Zoom.
Fantastic. Hannah, this was such a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for sharing all your professional insights and opinions and knowledge with our listeners.
It was my pleasure, Debbie. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And please come back next week. Thank you for listening to On the House. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe and share it with your family and friends. You can also visit buyitinisrael.com, where you can find news, market updates, guidance, and much more on real estate in Israel. That's Buy It in Israel, BUYITinIsrael.com. If you have a question or a specific topic you'd like us to cover on this podcast, please email us at the address you'll find at the bottom of the show notes. Whether you're thinking about Aliyah, looking for a home or a haven, or wanting to support the Israeli economy, now is the time to buy it in Israel.